does it for our show. A belated happy birthday to Rob Young. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Stay safe. Wear a mask.
I'm going to avoid spreading COVID-19. It's easy. I'll wear a mask in crowded places. If I have symptoms, I'll self-isolate and do a rapid test. If I test positive, I'll stay home for at least 5 days. And for the next 5 days, I won't visit anyone who's at risk. I'll avoid social events like festivals and gatherings. And I'll limit my activities to only the most essential, all while wearing a mask and staying 2 meters away from others. The virus is still out there, so we have to be careful. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
The following is a previously broadcast program.
I, Ani Pisuktu Yunga, Ulume June 22, 2021, Amalo, Nipibumu, Dunga Suguchi. Ulume, Tina Pisuti, Ojalemahate Halangayo, Ovanit, Ani Pisuti, Amalo, Zipora Nakasa, Hano, Inui, Picotahasum Mangata, Hanolo, Tukisivalia Hasum Mangata, Inui, Picosing in the Han, Inuchiavano, Mitano. Tunga to teach a hatan, Neomitano. Amalo, Nitotene, Inutitotone to Sahataranga Medusi. So Nala to Inarati. I'm Annie Pisuti. Today is June 22, 2021. Welcome to Nipiwood. Today, Tina Pisuti speaks with me, Annie Pisuti, and Zipporah Nakasa about the role of elders, what it means to be an elder, and generational differences. We also play Inuktitut music, so keep on listening.
This is a message from Ivertivik Center in Montreal. Ivertivik is a center that helps Inuit to find a job and go back to school in Montreal or up north. We help 18 years old and over, no exception. You can come visit us in front of Metro Verdun at 4590 Verdun Avenue or call us at 514-564-3051. We are open Monday to Friday from 9 a.m. to 12 for participants to come in the center, but in the afternoon from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. only by appointment.
Okay, thank you, Vanita. But how does it work?
Hi, Laura. It is really simple. All you have to do is contact us. We also have a Facebook page that is called Ivertivik. From there, the counselors are going to take care of you.
Okay. Does it cost something to ask for your help?
No, it is free. We even give you allowances and bus tickets when you come every day of the week.
Every day?
Yes, every day. We offer a program that helps you prepare for your interview, make your resume or improve it, help with your IDs to apply for jobs and more.
Do I have to go to the center to get the help and support?
No, with the pandemic, we are equipped to help you from distance. We can do it by phone, email, FaceTime and more.
Do we get to have fun in Ivertivik?
Yes, we do. Ivertivik is just not about being serious, but it is also about knowing yourself better, making friends, respecting Inuit culture. Plus, every Friday we offer a creative activity and a gift card for the best attendance.
Thank you, Juanita. That helps a lot.
Thank you, Laura. And don't forget, on the premises, we take health measures really seriously. Everybody must wear a mask at all times, disinfect, and wash their hands and keep the distance.
Thank you for listening. If you're looking for a job or going back to school, don't be shy to contact us. We hope to see you soon. Have a good day.
Tina Pisukti here for Nipivut. We have Zipporah Nukasak, originally from Nain Nunatsiavut, living in Ottawa, and Annie Pisukti, our resident host for Nipivut, originally from Iqaluit Nunavut, and now living in Montreal. I have both of these ladies here with us today to speak to us about the role of Inuit elders and to talk to us about some of the differences between their generation and the young generation that they're witnessing today. Thank you, Zipporah and Annie, for being here with us. Can you explain to us what it means to be an elder? Is there an age that goes with being an elder? What makes somebody an elder?
And to my understanding, an elder is someone that in the group is the oldest person with knowledge of respect. We were very, very raised to respect our elders. I was raised to respect my elders. I was told almost every day by my father that I have to always remember that elders need to be assisted without them asking for assistance. This was very important to my father, that I understood that I am to serve my elder respectfully and to listen to my elder respectfully, and to make sure that I understand what they're saying. For example, every day my father would say, be kind to your elders, help your elders, give them a glass of water or give them tea or ask them if they're hungry or do they need assistance in their house? Is there something I can do in the house for them? These are the things I was raised to understand and to respect. Yeah, and never to tease them, never to make fun of them, never to laugh at them, and always try to understand that they're explaining what I should know or how I should grow up to know to be. This is the way my father taught me to be. What about you, Zippy? Is it similar to your raising?
Yes. I was brought up in a different generation altogether. Mm-hmm. I was raised by my Anansiak, my Atatsiak. They were elders in the community, my mm-hmm. grandparents, and we were raised up the traditional Inuk way, not compared to today, but mm-hmm. You know, we always make sure we help our elders if they need. At the time, we had no running water. We used to mm-hmm. fetch water for the elders.
Yeah.
If they need help, if you see an elder walking down the road with groceries, you take their groceries from their hand and help carry their groceries home for them. If mm-hmm. they need anything, we don't really, well, it's different today now, but an elder in our community was someone who was respected, had life experience, a much older generation, and they always have wisdom because of life experience, what they were taught from the generation before them. So I was brought up, I was taught to respect our elders, help our elders, and you know, the elders helped each other raise our communities. They were our Angayuka. Mm-hmm. And so we when I was raised by my grandparents, they didn't speak English. They'd say like today, oh, you got to respect your elders. You don't do this. You don't do that. That's not how they were. They taught us by action and how they were. That's how I was taught to treat elders with respect.
Is there a difference between the elderly and elders? Considering that we have individuals now in the community that we consider to be elders that we ask to come do things like opening prayers or come out to community events, provide guidance for the community. Is there a difference, a distinction between elderly and elders in the sense of those who are called upon to come do things for the community?
The elderly and the elders are pretty much same to me. The elderly are like older generation, and elders, it's the same. There is no age. I know in some of my programming we have elders tea, but we take 15 up because we're in Ottawa. We're in the urban setting, but in our own communities, it's not 50 and up. The elders are identified by the community for their wisdom. And they're, but here in the city, it's different, but we still have elders and elderly here too.
Hmm. Annie, what about you?
Elderly and elders to me mean the same thing too. Like Zippy said, it's the wisdom and the teaching. And, you know, we didn't learn from books. We learned by looking, by observing our elders, observing our parents, observing what they were doing, observing our aunts, observing the women of the community. This is how we were taught, but we were also made sure that respect was the biggest role of my biggest role was respect of my elder. So elderly and elder to me is the same thing too. And knowledge, it's big thing issue is the knowledge. Like, because they know so much, they've gone through so much, they've lived longer than us, so they have so much knowledge. And they have so much teachings, like even when you walk with them on the land or walk with them on the, they can explain to you what this is, how it's used, why it's used. Makuagalay, these were important. How to, if, for example, if I was going to go to the land because it's a beautiful day, it's summer, I'm trusted with matches because I'm going to the land because I've been taught how to make a fire and how to boil tea and how to collect tiyutak, which is our kindle. And I'm trusted to take these matches to go to the land with my friends, even though I am a child, because I have been taught to respect. That means that I cannot play with the fire. That means that I cannot be throwing matches around. That means that, you know, even collecting water or when to put the tea bag. You know, Makwagalai, these were the things that were very important teachings for us at that time. For me, anyways. We made that our parents, our elders made sure was that we understood what to respect, how to respect it. Like going to the low tide, right? You're going to the low tide, you're picking up kwanet, you're going scoping hunting, which is, they call it ugly fish these days. Or if it's a full moon, That means the tide is further, so that now I can go clam digging. But I also had to observe that the tide can come without me noticing it, and I can get stuck. So these are the things that we were taught. I was taught. I'm sure Zippy was taught the same way. If I'm going to the ice, because now there's cracks on the ice, now I can go cod fishing because there's cod just after the shore, you know, Tinin Avani. You, these kind of things, we were always taught to observe and to make sure that we understood where we were, because any instant can make a harm to a person. These are the things that I've been taught to respect. And also to respect my peers. For example, someone crippled, someone walking funny, like different from you. You are not allowed to go and pretend that you're walking like the person. It's bad karma. These are the things we were taught.
Yeah, not to make fun of them, mm-hmm. but respect them as we respect each other.
Yeah.
If we made fun of them, my grandparents would tell us off.
Yeah. You're going to become like that if you do that.
Yeah.
Scary, ain't I? Or going outside when it's dark, making sure that we come home at a proper hour. It's my family for sure.
Yeah, my family too. We have to be home by 9 p.m.
and the aurora borealis, Aksanit, eh? They dance. Okay, since I was little, I've been told that this aurora borealis or they can cut off my head.
If you whistle, they'll come down and cut off your head.
Yeah. So people are saying, oh, how beautiful this. But me, oh my God, they're going to cut off my head. I'm so scared, you know, because I've been taught to be scared of them so I can go home at a proper hour.
Yeah.
Or Khalupalli, the ones that they state are... they're mammals. They live under the ice, and they have an amautik, but they're half human. And if you're on the ice or on the shore alone, they will grab you and put you in their amautik and take you underneath, and you will never be seen again, you know. But it was just so that we can be cautious of our kisu around us. So we will be cautious.
I mean, it sounds like there was, you can continue to use the word respect, but it sounds like there was quite a bit of discipline that was involved, and that this discipline came from almost a sense of fear that was reinforced by reinforced by stories. And myths and legends within the community.
Yeah.
Do you think that the fact that many people maybe don't know those myths and legends anymore or aren't familiar with them changes people's perspectives and the way that they are perhaps behaving or maybe even leading to misbehaving now because they don't have these to keep them following those traditions?
Those fundamentals. Zippy, you want to answer that?
Well, in my generation, I was very lucky. I was very fortunate to be raised by my grandparents. So I learned their way, how they were brought up. Mm-hmm. And it made me the person I am today. Back yes. then, there was no Facebook. There was no phones. There was no TV. There was no running water. There is no internet.
Honey buckets.
We had honey buckets. We used to use honey buckets. That was the worst part. But fetching water.
Especially if there was a storm outside and the honey bucket man cannot come and change the honey bucket, your bum.
So that generation, made me the person I am today. Like today, we are so fortunate. We don't have to touch water anymore. We got running water. We got water and sewage. We have lights. It's really a lot. Many of our elders has passed away now. And as we get older, we're living the new generation, which is different altogether. And I think along the way, our traditional ways, our traditional knowledge is being lost along the way because of social media, because of Facebook, Dakwa, movies, Netflix, everything technology. Back then, the technology, we didn't have technology. We were even lucky to have a phone on a landline. And, you know, we had an operator. My aunt Liz White was an operator.
I was too. With the over.
Yeah, over. Uncle Alikin, over. Hanga Uncle Alikin, over. And now we're texting. We have our own little devices now wherever we go. So it's changed so much in two generations.
Do you think that it's a lot harder for individuals to stay grounded in the culture because there's so many different distractions and so many different things to do and to follow that maybe young people get easily lost?
I think families, even kids now have these. So let's say an example, there's 5 or 6 or 7 people in the living room, but they're not talking to each other. They're texting. Before, we didn't have these devices. We all sat together without technology. And, you know, it's very different now. Mm-hmm. I miss the old days.
Yeah, mother, what I see also today is that, you know, before me, my parents, my stepfather, my mother, they lived off the land, the seasonal, you know, they had roles to follow, like, but now today, it's not like that anymore. There's movies. Boys are wanting to be cowboys. They're wanting to be ninja. They're wanting to be like a missionary. You know, it's misleading our children because they're wanting to be someone that they are not, or in their culture that did not exist, but it's coming from the television or from the media. For example, how many years were these young men, their pants below their bum? You know, these kind of things, these are the things, and it's also because of the alcohol, what the white man brought to my people. They made sure that their dogs were slaughtered so that they can now stay in one community, because before that they all had camps. It was immediate families in one camp site, right? And now all of a sudden they're brought to a community. They're stuck now because the white man has made sure that their dogs are dead, so they can't move. The man was defaced. The man got angry. It became a very scary time of my time because I grew up, there was a liquor store in my community. I grew up, I saw a lot of violence. I mean, I don't think these people in the South have seen violence like us Inuit have seen in our own community, in our own family. And it is because they were defaced. The men were defaced. They were dehumanized by the Khallunaks. And they were the male sole providers of the family. And all of a sudden now they're stuck. Mm-hmm. Everything has been taken away. This is another thing that nobody talks about. But it's something, it's reality. This is what happened.
And it's not even in our history books in our schools. The history books in the Canadian schools are really old. They talk about old history that's nothing to do with our own history. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Louis Riel. Like, why would we want to know about Louis Riel when we lived in our communities that was full of traditional knowledge and we weren't using that? Mm-hmm. And Inuit are, we're nomadic people. We follow our animals, our mammals. Mm-hmm. Every season we would have a camp place.
Yeah.
And then when the RCMP slaughtered our husky dogs, that was our only transportation during the winter. When they slaughtered our husky dogs, we couldn't travel anymore. So from beginning of time, we were nomadic people. Then all of a sudden, our transportation, our dogs are shot right in front of us. And then that's because the RCMP, the Halunak people, they wanted us to stay in one place because they didn't know our traditional camping grounds. Mm-hmm. So, and then when they, our men hunters are the best hunters in the world. Mm-hmm. They can survive in the coldest climate on the planet. And our dogs were very smart dogs. They can bring you home in a blizzard.
Yeah.
And then when they shot the dog, that's putting us down. Imagine if Inuit went to Halunak houses and shot their puppies or their gulags in broad daylight. We'd be in prison.
Yeah.
But they got away with it. The Canadian government let them get away with it. This is when our history start going down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, as a child, me, like, since I was maybe 2, 3, 4 years old, because the Americans were the ones that were there before the federal government. The federal government took over in 1963, but before that, it was the Americans that were there. They brought the movies. We had a movie theater. We watched movies that we don't even understand what they're talking about or... And it's because they brought us movies so that we can learn from these movies, but it didn't have anything to do with me. They're living in the South. They got horses. And then they're killing each other. You know, Inuit didn't kill each other. Inuit lived together. They made sure that the community, their camp was harmonized. The men hunted, the women sewed, the women were the ones that took care of the family, cooked, sewed our clothes, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, they can't do that anymore because they're saying this is wrong, that it's coming from the devil, that we didn't even know about the devil before the white man came, because Inuit didn't do that kind of stuff.
Nana ga matarut ya umma. 786. Sinanu age is a salvo de uva. Sinani 786. Balnaya unga. Ang naluming matakimi na
You guys are talking a lot about the history and traditional life and some of those huge changes that took place that have changed Inuit communities and the landscape over time. We have a lot of young people who are very interested in learning more about the history, learning more about myths and legends, and really are craving that knowledge and information. But a lot of times they feel stuck. They feel that they can't ask certain questions, or they don't know how to approach elders to have conversations, especially because some topics are very difficult to ask about, right? Because some of the things that you've mentioned are things that are very touchy. There are things that were very hard for the community to live through. Is there any guidance or advice on what youth can or can't ask, or how they should approach elders to engage in dialogue and discussions?
I totally believe that the first thing is just to go get out of the city, go to the tundra, go fishing, go sit in front of the water, or just to observe an elder creating hamutik, creating soapstone, or creating a tool like a harpoon, or nitsik, you know, or kakivak, which is kakivak is what they use to catch a fish. You know, you go lunge the kakivak and you catch a fish. These things, they're still there. And also just to observe, because how I learned was observing and listening and observing. That's something that these kids don't seem to be doing now, is observing. They're, because they're too busy on their cell phone or their internet, their computer, their, you know, or watching TV. And also a lot of the youth I've heard are very ashamed of their culture because of the alcoholism. But overall, if they went out to the land and saw how Inuit congregate or live together, like, it's so beautiful. And a lot of times, you know, you don't even have to say anything. You can just sit there and just listen to no noise. It's beautiful. This is it's healing. Land is very healing. Eating together is very healing. Sharing is very healing. I've heard also that the elders have are like waiting for the youth to come to them to ask them questions, because they have all the answers, but because they're not listened to a lot anymore, so they wait for the youth to come to them and ask questions or show them, or observing was very important. Pitching a tent, these kind of things, going to go to fetch water, which part, because sometimes the water, there's little mingos, like little beetles or and stuff, so you have to make sure that you don't pick up these parasites, or find another piece of part of the water that is clear, like running water, and you get that water because you know that the mingos are not going down this water. Imagala. Simple things, but today, even though they were simple, today it seems to be very confusing and hard.
I think that our youth need to go back to our traditional ways. I find that it's okay for anyone to come to an elder and ask questions, but our traditional ways is being lost. I'm seeing it myself, but I know I never ever thought in my whole life I would be in pandemic times, and the stuff I do at my work, the culture program, my programs were like bringing Inuit together, having Christmas celebration, spring equinox, cultural activities, how to make ati, how to make sealskin mitts, all this, like how to make a drum, and doing presentations on Inuit history in Canada to different organizations like our CMP, CHEO, government, because our history is not in history books. Not too many people know about our history, even though we have four regions, Nunatsiavut, Nunavut, Nunavik, Inuvialuit. And now the fifth region is becoming urban. So from the time, I know our climate change is changing too, but youth need to know our traditional ways, like Annie said, we learn by observing. That's how we learn. Even though there might be no talking, that's the best way to learn. Mm-hmm. Observing, and when you observe, you're really listening and focused. And like, we don't have directions. Oh, you got to do it this way. You got to do it that way. There's hardly any talking. It's all action of what you learned, and you do it. You don't even have to talk.
Yeah. However makes you comfortable in doing, creating something or learning to do something, it's a teaching. Nobody is telling you you're doing the wrong way, but also they will say, well, usually it could be this way or that way, but it's a teaching. This is very good what you're doing. I'm very proud that you're creating this, and it's not wrong, but you will get better at it. Like, for the first time, if you're touching a thread and needle, right? It's in your genes. It's in your genes from generations, so you already can do it because it's embedded in your genes. I want to encourage the youth to go question and observe and to learn and to be proud of their culture, because, you know, Inuit are so innovative. I mean, do you know of any other people that can build a house out of snow? Right? Do you know of any other people that can make a whip out of a skin or comics, waterproof comics on top of that? You know, very innovative. Which part of the animal is which good for which what thing? These, like, for example, you know, dogs were the man's best friend. Also, when a dog was too old, it died off. So the woman skinned it, cleaned it. And I have heard that they are the warmest meats, and also for your face, for your fur to go on your coat, how it's very protective. These kind of things. Tuk-tuks, how it's so warm, you know. You don't need socks. You just need this tutu fur, duffel socks, and your feet are hot forever. You don't feel cold.
Would you say that for those in the South who don't have the opportunity or the means to go up north, or maybe who are connecting with the community for the first time and don't necessarily know their family, is it the role of community organizations to provide these spaces where youth can meet elders and observe different practices?
It's very important. It's good for them. It heals them. It embeds something inside them that makes them feel so good. Just the stories, just how the Inuit are, very important. Even just sewing, even just sitting and eating together, just laughing. You know how Inuit love laughing, especially when it's in a when they're gathering. It's healing. Yes, these youths, we have to make sure that although we're not in that same phase that my generation was, where they lived nomadically. They followed the animals. They followed the seasons. To this day, my body craves seasonally, because ptarmigan comes in the spring, fishing comes in the spring, these kind of things, caribou, they're fat after they rut. You know, these kind of things, these were things that made us feel so good, made me feel so good. Like to this day, February, March, I have to have a ptarmigan. I need ptarmigan. My body is craving ptarmigan. Also, it's craving fresh Arctic char that has now come back from to the sea, from the ponds. You know, these kind of things, these are cravings. My body craves. My body craves seal in the summer. My body craves caribou in the fall. After the rut. My body craves Arctic char when they're nice and fat, they're gonna start go up the river, you know, these kind of things. And then the other way around. So when the youth that are here, and then they taste the what we have been raised with, it's healing to them. It's good for them. Learning how to sew, learning how to bead, learning how to carve, learning how to make tools, learning how to even to do hayak. You know, these are things that make them feel so good and proud, because it's a crave in there that it's inside that is missing. I think. To me, yeah. Mm. Right,
Yes, it's really important to go home when we can, even though it's really expensive to go home mm-hmm. when we live in the South. But like Tina asked, should the organizations help? But I don't know if they have the funding, but I'm thinking that, you know, when we start a new organization in the South representing all Inuit, you know, there is a lot of funding out there that we could create youth programming, a trip home to learn this, to learn that. You know, with this day and age, anything is possible. So let's say in Montreal, like these different Inuit organizations in the South, if they had, like, I know some big organizations, they have youth summits. We should have youth summits to go for the youth to go home and learn this stuff.
Yes.
Off the land, learn how to hunt, learn how to skin a caribou, even though it's forbidden to hunt caribou in my region. But, you know, like to go off on the land.
Amalo, also, you know, our men knew which part of the body to kill the animal. Is it good what we're saying? How do you think? Because I know that being Inuk and being an older woman, older Inuk like me and Zippy, for example, coming back, knowing where we come from and how we were taught. Do you like our answers? I want your answer as a youth, grown in the urban land.
Well, as someone from urban area, it's what you propose is difficult. It's difficult to understand what's being said and to be able to do some of the things, because observing is not something everyone has the privilege or ability to do anymore, because we have so many individuals, even elders, who are not living healthy lives or who are not continuing those practices. So when we are observing, we're observing things that aren't even necessarily part of our culture traditionally, things that have become part of our community, but some of those things are such unhealthy practices or, you know, not the type of things that we really want to be passing down to our next generation.
Yeah.
Because we have so many of us who are trying to break cycles of abuse and cycles of violence, and trying to figure out what is really our culture. What are those things that we borrowed from other cultures? And how do we get back to the real essence of what it is to be Inuk? What is it to be someone who's from the Arctic, who lived a harmonious life, who was following the Inuit values, who was doing for the community, who was always thinking about others and not being selfish. It's hard to pull apart what we learn in mainstream Western society, and what we learn in our communities, and how to find some sort of balance that works, where we feel authentic in our identities.
And a good example is what Zippy is doing in Ottawa. Elders Tea program, right? This is simple, but it's very, very...
needed. It's our traditional way, but in a new modern way.
Yes.
I work for Dunga Sivingit Inuit as a cultural coordinator. I've been with TI now, like 11 years. And we used to have elders tea every Friday where everyone get together, where we would cook seal meat. But now with this pandemic, we couldn't meet anymore. So we figured out a way, how can we see our elders? How can we make sure our elders is fine? How can we make sure they're okay? How can we, visiting each other, but on Zoom. It's working out. Being on Zoom, which I never thought I would be doing any activities on Zoom in my life. Now we're doing Zoom and connecting with Inuit, not just from Ottawa, not just from Montreal, but in all the provinces in Canada, even in the world. We had Inuk from Russia join us. We had Inuk from Massachusetts, USA join us.
Wow.
So now it's becoming really big. But using our traditional values, using our traditional knowledge only, but on Zoom. Many people making it through the pandemic just because of this too, because they need it.
Yeah.
Because we always used to visit each other. Now we can't do that because we had a stay home order, but we figured out a way. Okay, let's use Zoom. And it's working.
Yeah.
And now that looks like the pandemic is coming to a close, I don't know, but seems like then I look forward to go back to really seeing people.
What also was I find really through the pandemic is that even though we're separated, we're like in our own little hub and everything, we're still able to be given our country food. Like, for example, TI gives country food, QIA, SQIA. These are so healing to the person's body. And it's so appreciative that we are able to do that. Even those gift cards for the IGA and grocery stores, these are so appreciative. And this is called caring and taking care of our people, which at all the time was the most important thing to our people.
I know in my program with TI, we had freezer full of country food, and then our programming stopped. So what we did was we packed every piece to make sure our elders got a piece, and we delivered them.
That's what happened here in Montreal too. And it's so good, you know. Tutumine, oh my God, Caribou, Arctic Charlie, wow, you know, because they're so good for us. And it's so appreciative that we are still able to, as an older person now, because I'm getting there, but because I have seasonal cravings, just seeing the country food and Kujalina, it's so good for me. Yeah. So I know that it's so good for the other Inuit too. I'm so appreciative when I get it. I know that my other fellow Inuits are appreciating the same thing. You know, drinking the broth of caribou, drinking the broth of, nirlit, goose, everything, the broth. Oh, I love
Hayok. Yeah.
Mamakta.
Namatali.
Yeah, it's so good.
Annie and Zipporah, I'm gonna thank you for taking the time to speak with us today on Nipivut. Is there anything you wanted to add before we end?
I just want to we're very sympathetic people, right? And of course, you know, when we're watching TV, the media and everything, we feel empathy, we feel sympathy.
And sometimes this can be dangerous. But also I want to say that I know that a lot of the people are not appreciating prayers from God no more because of what these Kalunats did. This is not what God does. This is what the white man did. It's got nothing to do with God. It's got nothing to do with churches, but you know what? It's believing in someone higher than you is so good, but bashing, hurt you, make you depressed, make you sad. It's good to feel empathy and sympathy, but it's not good to start to curse or start to say, this is no good, these people are no good, these churches are no good, because they are good. It's just that human that was there at the time that did wrong. Zippy?
Yeah, thank you, Tina and Annie. Thank you for inviting me. And even though you guys are in Montreal, we're still together. Mm-hmm. To see you on here. It's so good to see Inuit, Inuhatigi Gata Ilunata.
Yeah.
Ikayuti Yahavo Ilunata. We have to help each other even more now than ever.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Amalu, another thing I would like to say is that, yes, we have a lot of our fellow Inuit that are on the streets, that are sating themselves, that are feeding themselves with not to feel the pain that they already have inside them, but they are still good people.
Yeah.
Even if they are drinking and stuff, they are still good people. Don't lose hope. Pray for them. Love them. Don't be disgusted by them. Just let them know that we care, you know. Let them see, you know. Don't humiliate them. Humiliation is not a good thing.
Nakominga ani.
Nakomiji pi kujan nami binga.
Inuhati ngay.
Nakomik. Nakomik akuluk. Naligi bagit.
Yeah. Akuluk.
Yeah. Naligi bagit.
Ifilo.
Amalota Panipina Sutujugut, Ubanga, Anipisuti, Jennifer May, Nancy Angile, Tina Pisuti, Amalo Carl Bauer. Nakomir Mamayugu, Concordia University, Southern Quebec Inuit Association, Amalo CKUT 90.3 FM. Pinasuru Optimi, Lara Larabusi, Urban Indigenous Radio, Takuchola Mayugut, July 6th, Murakan. Nato sa kasalang alam mo yung so perspective. Uka ko mami yung ang matatato alam na lang may kamasin po at ting ulit po yung mataka tanan nuka kasapa ko tikulog ako itong nagtala ko nga ipatsani cha. Kubi ako tiba ka? Hey! Tapabos eh! Thank you for listening to Nipibut. Our theme song is by Angela Amagwali. This episode was made by me, Anipisuti, Jennifer May, Nancy Angilin, Tina Pisuti and Carl Bauer. Thanks Concordia University, Southern Quebec Inuit Association and CKUT 90.3 FM. Tune in this time next week to Urban Indigenous Radio and we will be back July 6th. Stay tuned for Soul Perspective coming up next. Also, I would like to mention that I had a granddaughter, my 14th granddaughter, my youngest child, Tina Pisupti, gave birth a couple days ago. So I'm very proud. Congratulations. Nakome, bye.
What made you drop out?
Well, a lot of people think it was the 400 acid trips they took, you know.
Uh-huh, but what was it really, Bob?
One day I played CKUT in 90.3.
Then what happened?
I saw God.
You
I saw God.
That.
Well, that sounds like true enlightenment to me,
yeah,
Bob.
Yeah, we grim.
And on the seventh day, the Lord said,
let there be CKUT.
What's up, what's up, what's up, good people? To those of you listening, wherever, whenever, whatever time it is, good morning, good evening, and good night. You are locked into another Tuesday evening with Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Soul P has been on the air since 1994. We bring you all the topics, the guests, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of the black community here in Montreal, across Canada, and internationally. We have a beautiful evening of music and discussion lined up for you tonight. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial.
Everything that touch will turn to gold. 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 And it's okay, say what you gotta say.